McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Now, we love our crime podcasts here in Ireland, and a new podcast which hit the number one position of the Irish charts is a podcast. Number eight. I do apologise. Let's elevate it a little bit, Jane, to number one. Number eight in the Irish podcast charts. A series of true crime, Australia and the UK's The Times and the Sunday Times, called Cocaine Inc. And it examines the global drug business. Sounds fascinating, actually. News Corp Australia reporter Stephen Drill, The Times chief reporter Fiona Hamilton, and the Sunday Times Northern editor David Collins travelled more than 50,000 kilometres across six countries to unmask the key players, how they operate, and the trail of destruction that they leave behind them. Now we're lucky enough to have the Australian journalist and Cocaine Inc.'s host, Stephen Drill, on the line to tell us all about this new series and its Irish link. And he joins me now. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are yourself?
I'm good, good. Now, I know you're in Australia, so there's going to be a slight little bit of a delay between us, but we'll get through it and it'll be fine. Look, a really interesting story, Stephen. I suppose, you know, the kind of link between, you know, we people are very aware of the Kinahans over here, of course, and everybody knows about the Kinahans and the Hutches and all that kind of stuff. But what is the link between Australia and Ireland when it comes to drugs?
No, the Kinahans are, as you say, a household name in Ireland, but not so much in Australia. But what we managed to reveal in the podcast is there's an Australian cocaine kingpin, a man called Angelo Pandelli, and he's actually working with the Kinahans. There was a cocaine seizure in Limerick on December 19 last year, and that was a joint shipment between Pandelli and the Kinahans, police say. Now, why the Kinahans are so important is because of their money laundering. They've become a key facilitator in the drug world.
Isn't it astonishing that we know about all these people, all of these families and all of the individuals involved in what goes on, and that seizure of over 300 kilograms of high-grade cocaine from a cargo ship? And I remember the story actually when it came in at the time from Limerick, right? But we're aware of everything that's going on, and yet these people seem to still operate with some sort of impunity. It's astonishing, isn't it?
No, you're exactly right, and that word impunity is the key to this. They're in, well, the Kinahans at least, they're in Dubai. They've been there for a few years now. Your Irish Justice Minister, your Irish police have gone to Dubai to actually try and get them back. And even then, it still could be 2 or 3 years away because they're fighting through the legal channels over there to actually delay or obfuscate this effort. And the problem is when you're in different jurisdictions, then there's different laws and there's different ruling classes and all the rest of it. And you actually have to prove beyond reasonable doubt that this is the case, and they have been moving these drugs. And getting that evidence to satisfy the courts in Dubai is becoming a little bit harder.
Mm. I mean, in Australia, for example, you know, I mean, is there many notorious drug dealers in Australia?
Well, Australia is this strange place because it's kind of small, but it's very, very wealthy. So here in Australia, to buy a line of cocaine, it's about $400. Now, I'm going to just do my rough guesses. That's about 250 euros, which is a heck of a lot more than what you pay for it in Dublin or in London or America. So the cocaine dealers, they love Australia because they want to get here and actually make the most money out of it. And we've got Pandelli, who's our number one cocaine kingpin now. But we've also had quite a few murders on the streets of Sydney in the past few years, and that's been the result of this cocaine trade and a war over people saying shipments were missed. So we've had some fellows called Mark Buttle. He's been brought back to Australia recently, and he's facing court soon. But there's a lot of money going around through this cocaine trade.
I mean, we've seen the same in Ireland, of course, over the last 10 years, the amount of murders on the street and shootings of, you know, individuals from both the Hutches and the Kinahans, of course, you know, basically these family feuds over drugs and who owns whatever patch they happen to be on or whatever it is. I mean, these drugs, by the way, where are they all coming from? I'm assuming they're all ordered from Colombia.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's Colombia is about 65% of the world cocaine market. Peru and Bolivia make up the rest. And that's because it only grows at between 6,000 and 8,000 feet above sea level. And it's specific to that Andean mountains there. Mm-hmm. And they're actually doubling the production of cocaine. They've got a lot better at it in the past 10 years. And the actual processing of it, they've got super labs now. So this is going to become a bigger problem, not less, because there's more of it available.
And you know, this kind of what's going on currently at the moment, the investigations that are currently ongoing between this link between Pandeli and obviously the Kinahans, you know, what does this mean for both Ireland and Australia? And are the Irish and the Australian authorities working together? Can they work together? Do we have an alliance in that sense that we can actually work together? I know legally some countries can work together and some can't. Do we have an alliance that we can work together?
Yeah, the Australian Federal Police are in a lot of countries. They do have an office in Ireland, and I would be shocked if they weren't in discussions with Irish police about this. Sometimes, though, actually arresting these guys doesn't always take away their power. Now, the Kinahans, Christie's been in jail how many times in Ireland and Europe, and he just goes and sort of learns a new language and starts up again. It's like a training camp for him. So what the police here in Australia have been doing is trying to take away the cash from these criminals, seizing their assets, seizing their luxury cars, and that might be another way that might be a little bit simpler to actually try and curb their influence.
I mean, yeah, well, look, we've been doing the same with CAB here in Ireland, you know, seizing assets. And only recently, by the way, there was a story there about 2 weeks ago where they seized the assets of some big kingpin. But in saying that, that doesn't really seem to do them a huge amount of damage. Because these guys have, you know, millions, if not billions, of dollars or euros or whatever it happens to be, waiting to be laundered, you know, somewhere in a bag or, buried somewhere. They kind of have all of this money. So taking away their Ferrari or their mansion doesn't seem to bother them very much.
No, and that's, you raise the point there about billions, and that's the sort of money that is floating around in the pockets of some of these drug kingpins now, because they've got smarter. I mean, to the advent of the mobile phone, what used to take 20 people 2 months could now take 2 people a week. There was a guy here in Australia who was arrested, and he was pretty much a no name, and the police alleged that he was trying to move 20 tons of drugs in 5 months.
Wow.
So if that's what one minnow in Queensland can do, what can people like the Kinahans, with all of their connections around the world, be moving? And that's sort of what's frightening about it. But I don't know the answer. Did we just give up? And that's probably, we don't want to be defeatist about it. But that's not to say that this is an easy problem to fix.
The other problem these gangs are probably going to have in a very modern world is laundering money. I mean, I suppose years ago when everybody used cash, it wasn't such a big deal. You could pawn cash off in a shop or whatever it was. Nowadays, nobody uses cash. We all use cards. So laundering money and cleaning money, as they say, is a lot more difficult than it used to be. And I don't know if they have easy access to physical cash anymore. I did read one article there recently where this guy, actually it was a documentary I was watching about how to rob a bank, and how he was laundering the money was he was going to Las Vegas and placing bets on football matches on both teams. So at least he'd get half his money back at least, or less 5%, commission that the bookies were getting. So that's how he was cleaning the money and laundering it. So it must be difficult for these guys to launder that amount of cash.
Yeah, you would think that, but the Kinahans are actually the best in the world at it, and they use the Hawala banking system, the Islamic banking system, so money doesn't actually move. You raise the point about having cash. Well, what they do is, say I buy drugs, you and I, we're both in a agreement together to move a ton of drugs, $100 million, say.
Okay.
I will want to be paying for that. Instead of sending Niall the money and wire transferring it across to Ireland, what I'll do is I'll pay a banker here in Australia the $100 million, and then based on trust, he'll go and take on that debt, and he'll send that money, or he'll pass on that debt to a banker in Ireland, and then he pays you the money. So there's ways around it, and a lot of this is actually linked to the sanctions on Iran. They can't move money. They aren't allowed to access the banking system. But they're still moving hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, and the Kinahans are right at the centre of that.
And is there no paper trail then for the authorities, because we're moving money electronically nowadays instead of years ago it was duffel bags? Is there no paper trail for it?
No, and they also use cryptocurrency as well, which there is a slight paper or electronic footprint, because it has to have, you know, an ownership through it. But the way it moves so quickly, it might go from A to B to Z to Y to Q to K in 3 seconds. So they just hide the ownership of it and make it really difficult for police and authorities to try and track it down. But they can, but it's not simple. So every time the police sort of crack something, then there's somebody else who's brought up an app. There's somebody else who's brought out a new computer program to make it harder to find.
So what gave you the idea for the podcast? It's doing really well, by the way. Number 8 in the Irish charts. I'm sure it's charting around the world as well. It's true. But people, I don't know what it is about true crime, but people love crime podcasts. They seem to always get up to the top somewhere. So they love the crime podcast. People are intrigued by crime, even though, you know, we're appalled by it and we know the damage that drugs does to society. We're still intrigued by the whole crime, aren't we?
We are. And this one, I think cocaine's a really interesting talking point. Because so many of your listeners, I mean, people in Australia, it's very open. Sydney, Melbourne, you go to a restaurant in the bathroom, there's two people walking out of the cubicles and they're, you know, they're sort of touching their noses. It's everywhere. And I think people don't see the impact of what they're doing there and they think it's okay. But what we did with the podcast is I went to Colombia and Mexico and we spoke to people there and, you know, they're actually, one police officer lost his legs to a landmine that was planted by the cartels. So there's a real impact of the choices people make in wealthy countries like Australia and Ireland. And that's what we haven't done. And I just, there's just that real sort of grey area in cocaine. Everyone sort of does it. Everyone thinks it's okay. And I think that's why it's a bit of a dilemma for a lot of people.
And are these guys, are they moving with the times? Because, of course, we know cocaine has kind of been around for a little while. Before that, it was kind of ecstasy was the big thing. If I go back to my day, when I was kind of in my 20s, LSD was the big thing at the time. And I suppose that's going to move again. You know, we hear a lot of talk about fentanyl, for example, or, you know, ice or crack cocaine or whatever. I'm not too familiar with all the drugs. But, you know, is it likely these guys are going to move on to things like fentanyl and other drugs that are probably more dangerous for society or more damaging?
Australia, if fentanyl gets a foothold. But one of the main things, the problem with cocaine is you've got to grow it. And it's a real thing. Someone has to cut it down. It's a process. It takes time. What they're looking at now is synthetic drugs like fentanyl, because that's a lot easier to make. But also, it's really dangerous and it kills a lot of people in America. So I think they're probably, as a business model, going to step, not be pushing too hard into that, because it is such a, it puts authorities on notice. What they are doing, particularly in Asia now, is bringing up synthetic drugs and ketamine. That's going to become, I think, in Australia, a huge wave in the next 10 years, because it's been made in the Golden Triangle. It's really cheap, and they're bringing it in bulk at the moment to try and create a market. They're giving it to people really, really cheap to get people on it, to get people used to it, and that'll be where we probably see the next 10 years. And I mean, I talk to people who've got young kids here in Australia who have been there, 14, 15, 16-year-old age groups, and they're not drinking beers anymore. They're not drinking alcohol.
Same here.
There's a lot more drugs. Yeah.
Because it's really strange. I've been told by 20-year-olds on the air that it's a cheaper night out. You know what I mean? Rather than, you know, buying, you know, a pint of Guinness in Temple Bar, which would cost you £9, you know, or, you know, probably 13 Australian dollars for one pint of beer in Temple Bar, you know, they can get a bag of whatever it is for a tenner, you know, and have equally as good a night out. So that's a huge problem. But what are the laws like in Australia? I mean, currently in Ireland, you've got political parties demanding that we, you know, decriminalise Class A drugs and treat them differently as a health approach-based problem rather than dealing with, you know, charging people and putting them in jail. I mean, what's the Australian authorities' take on all this and the politicians' take on drug-taking? Are they getting tough on it, or are they kind of suggesting the same as the Irish would be, which is to kind of go easier on it and, you know, the kind of Portuguese model, which I personally don't agree with. But, I mean, what is their take on it?
So they're leaning towards more the Portuguese model. We've got a Australian capital territory, which is Canberra, where our politicians are, and they've actually decriminalised ice, heroin and cocaine. So if you have less than 1.5 grams of it, you won't get a conviction for it. You'll be referred to the health system. That's only happened since October last year. Queensland's looking at the same thing. So I think the police here themselves are actually trying to crack down as hard as they can on the drug criminals. But the politicians are saying, let's go easy on the users themselves.
And how is that working out? Because I hear mixed reports about it. And I had a guy on from Portugal a while ago who was telling us he didn't believe the idea that it kind of reduces crime rates. He said, of course, crime rates for drugs are down because we're not charging anybody anymore. So he said, that's why the rates of crime for drugs. But he says, my own experience, my own observation in Portugal is, you know, that there's been an increase in the amount of people that are actually taking drugs because people have less of a risk of getting caught, particularly professionals who might have a reputation if they're caught with it or whatever, because they're only going to be referred on if they've only enough for personal use. So what's the experience been in, say, in Australia, in the parts of Australia where they have that health-based approach? Has it been good?
Well, we still haven't found out yet. It is only sort of 8 months in, and we haven't heard, as you say, people aren't being charged, so we don't know whether there's more of it or whether there's less of it. I think that's still a watching brief. I know we've got a... I think there's no easy answers to this, and people talk about the Portuguese model. I'm not necessarily sure that that's right. The other factor that people forget is cocaine is a really serious drug. Like, it causes serious heart problems, and there's a reason it is illegal. And some people would say, oh, alcohol's bad, and you know that causes problems too. And yes, they're right, but that's because alcohol's everywhere. Yeah. You can get it anywhere you go, and people drink a lot of it. If we use a similar amount of cocaine as to what we do with alcohol, then we have hospitals full.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there was no such thing as alcohol and somebody released it tomorrow or developed it tomorrow, I don't think they'd ever get a license to put it out on the market. I mean, I think we would think twice about the damage it does to society, directly and indirectly, of course. Well, look, it sounds like a wonderful true crime podcast. And I assume it's all the usual places. You can go to Spotify, iTunes, all the usual places. And by the way, is it just it's not just a one-off, obviously, it's a series. So how many episodes is there going to be?
No, it was 8 episodes. So we've gone from Colombia to Mexico through to Rotterdam, Liverpool, and over to Dubai, and then back to Australia.
Okay, and it's yourself, Fiona Hamilton of the Sunday Times, and the Northern editor, David Collins, and you travel more than 50,000 kilometres across 6 countries to unmask the key players and how they operate, and of course the trail of destruction they leave behind them, because they do leave a trail of destruction and death behind them, by the way. But these people, I suppose, not only have impunity, but they don't have any empathy and they couldn't care less, I imagine.
That's a fair call.
Mm. Did you ever, by the way, have you ever spoken to any of these kingpins? Have you ever got to interview any of them?
Right, and they sort of, I've spoken to people sort of, well, we should be careful about what I say there. No, I haven't spoken to them. So, yeah, but they're, a lot of them are successful. Yeah, to see them, they'd be successful business people, and you probably would never know what they're into unless you had were well informed.
But you got to be a certain type of person not to care about the damage that you're doing, you know, to people. I suppose you have to be a certain type of person. You know,
people
what I mean?
Just rationalise it. They just go, "Well, it's their choice, and you know, I'm just providing it. Someone else will," and they probably don't really care on their luxury yacht while they're doing lines of coke.
True.
That probably makes it a little bit easier for them. But yeah, it is. I would suggest this. They're very selfish people, it would be the kindest way to put it.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Stephen Drill. Thank you very much indeed. I'm sorry about the delay between the two of us there, but I'm sure we'll get to chat again. Stephen Drill, and the podcast, by the way, is called Cocaine Inc. And you'll get it on Spotify, all the usual places that you pick up your podcasts, iTunes, everywhere else. It's currently in the Irish charts at number 8, by the way. So it's doing really well and a very interesting listen because people are obsessed with crime.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.